The Canterbury Tales, Disc 4.
The Knight's Tale is immediately followed by The Miller's Tale, one of the great short stories in the English language. It is a fabliau, a French word that means a merry tale, generally about people in absurd and amusing circumstances, often naughty sexual predicaments. The stories generally involve a man, his unfaithful wife, and a cleric who is the wife's lover. Such tales were very popular in France, hence the French term fabliau. But if you read many of them in a collection, you will concede that Chaucer has raised this kind of yarn-telling to an art that most of these French stories do not attain, or even aspire to. In most simple French fabliau, names rarely matter, and the plot always goes thus. There was this man who lived with his wife in a town, and there was this priest, and so on. Characters are indistinguishable from each other shortly after you have read a few French fabliau. By contrast, the characters in The Miller's Tale, Absalom, Alison, John, Nicholas, are very memorable, and the plot is deliciously intricate and drawn out to an absurd and unnecessary complexity, which is part of the joke. Even after many readings, the end still manages to surprise. The Miller's Tale is about two young fellows who are after the same girl in a small English university town where students lodge in the houses of townspeople. The girl in question is no reluctant damsel, like Emily in The Knight's Tale. She is the young, pretty, but discontented wife of the old carpenter in whose house Nicholas, the university student, or clerk, lodges. The competition is between him and the parish clerk, called by the unusual name of Absalom, a biblical character known, among other things, for his vain beauty, a trait matched by our parish clerk. The love-talking in the tale is more country than courtly. The only physical battle is an uproarious exchange of hot air and hot ploughshare, and the principal cheeks kissed are not on the face. In a much-used translation of the Canterbury Tales from the early years of this century, The Miller's Tale is censored so severely that the reader is hard put to it to tell what is going on. Custom at that time, and for long afterwards, did not permit the bawdiness of the tale to be accepted frankly, as we would now put it. This sensitivity was not peculiar to the late Victorian age, however. Chaucer himself realized that some people of his own day, like some in ours, might take exception to the comic treatment of adulterous sex. So, just before the tale proper begins, he does warn any people of delicate sensibility who do not wish to hear ribald tales, and invites them to turn over the leaf and choose another tale of a different kind, for he does have some pious and moral tales. Along with the warning comes a kind of explanation. Chaucer pretends that he was a real pilgrim on that memorable journey to Canterbury, and that he is now simply and faithfully reproducing a tale told by another real pilgrim, a miller by trade. Such fellows are often coarse, naturally, but Chaucer cannot help that, he says. If he is to do his job properly, he must reproduce the tale exactly, complete with accounts of naughty acts and churlish words. Of course, nobody has given Chaucer any such job. There is no real miller. He is totally Chaucer's creation, words, warts, and all. Drunken medieval millers did not speak in polished couplets. We are clearly dealing with fiction, in spite of Chaucer's jocose attempt to excuse himself for telling entertaining, indecorous tales. Another little excuse and warning. It is only a joke, he says, and one should not make earnest of game. A warning often neglected by solemn critics. The prologue to The Miller's Tale and the tale itself are here read by Patrick Tull.